Isaiah chapter 53, verses 1 through 3. It's good to see each one out here this morning. It's good to see faces from those that have grown up here and are back here for a visit to their families. It's good to see you all here this morning. Isaiah 53, verses 1 through 3. Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of parched ground. He has no stately form or majesty that we should look upon him, nor appearance that we should be attracted to him. He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And like one from whom men hide their face, he was despised, and we did not esteem him. Shall we pray? Our dear Heavenly Father, we just come to you this morning. And dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you that you love the world so much that you sent your only begotten Son, and that if we believe in him, that we might have eternal life. That's the whole story of Christmas, is that you sent your Son, and we just thank you for that gift. For without Jesus Christ as our Savior, we would not have eternal life. Dear Lord, I just thank you for each one that's come out this morning. Thank you for the families that have come together that maybe haven't been here for a while. And dear Lord, it's just good to see them and good to fellowship together. And dear Lord, I just pray that our hearts might be attentive to what you want to say to us this morning, and that your Holy Spirit might just be able to teach us and to guide and direct us this morning. We pray for Pastor Bob and Marcia as they're gone. We just pray that you might help their time with their family to be a special time. And dear Lord, we thank you for Bill and his willingness to come and fill the pulpit this morning. And the message you've laid on his heart, dear Lord, I just pray that you might take it and use it in each one of our lives. And dear Lord, we thank you for the offering now. We just pray that you might take it and use it for your honor and glory. And we just give you this time and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
invite you to stand with us once again as we continue to worship through song. Thank you. Father God, we thank you this morning that we can sing that those songs with confidence, Father, because those that know you, Father, know that this isn't it. That this is not our home. That, Father, there's a home waiting for us with you. Father, it's only because you loved us so much that you gave us your Son. He came as a babe, Father. He lived, he was crucified, but he rose again on the third day. Father, we know that, and with confidence we can sing to you. Father, we come oftentimes with only our problems, our requests, often with our wants. This morning, Father, we want to come with just praise for you. And we thank you, Father, for this day. We thank you for this season. Help us to remember, Father, why we celebrate. We thank you for it in Jesus' name.
Good morning to each one of you. I don't know every one of you here, but I just want to welcome each one of you to this Christmas service, Sunday before Christmas. And my name is Bill Baxter, and I live up in Hot Springs, South Dakota. My wife is sitting in the back there. And at the end of this year, we will, in our little family, my wife and I, we will celebrate 6 years of coming down here to this church. And what a blessing. And the reason, how did I find this church from up in Hot Springs? Because Pastor Bob Townsend teaches at the school on Monday and Tuesday. And we, for various reasons, we were looking for a church 6 years ago. And I talked to him about coming down. And he said, sure, come down. And I just want you to know, those of you, the regulars that I know very well, and the guests and so forth that I don't know, that this place has been such a blessing to us, a chapter in my life that I will never forget. Between now and heaven, I will not forget this place. And I had the opportunity now and then to fill in for Pastor Bob, but he is away for various reasons, and so here I am today. And we are blessed to have that man as our pastor. We really are. We're blessed at the school to have him as a teacher. And I just want you folks to know that. Now, today, my title for the message today is The Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Day After Christmas. And I intended to read some scripture, some familiar scripture from Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 to 25, and Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 20, these verses. But we have had such a review of all that with these songs that I didn't know what was going on that is in the song part of the service today. And I think that you have an awareness. You have an awareness of this through the songs of this and these familiar passages that you know in Matthew 1 and Luke 2 about what we're about here today. And the fact that the theme that I want you to see in this message is that in that Christmas, that celebration of Christmas, the birth of Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, was in that manger, was held in Mary's arms, was the ones that the shepherds looked at and the wise men looked at and so forth. This infant was God Almighty himself. He took on a human body. The God the Son took on a human body. And that's what we celebrate this time of year. But my little thought that I want you to think about this morning is the Savior, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is the official theological proper name of the second person of the Trinity, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that was the baby in a manger who grew up in this world to become the Savior of the world. And what about the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the day after Christmas? And all the days after Christmas, into the, around the year till we come to celebrate Christmas again next year. What about us? What about the world as the world thinks about Jesus? And so much today, they don't want to talk about Merry Christmas, and they don't want to talk about Jesus Christ and all of that. They say Happy Holidays, things like that. We have such an amazing thing to remember here at this time of the year, the birth of the Son of God in human form, and Jesus Christ. And I want us to think about that today. What is the reality in your mind, in your heart? What is the reality of this Christmas season, the day after Christmas? What do we think then? Or 2 days, or 10 days, or in the middle of the year, you know, all the other days other than the Christmas season. What do we think then? Who is Jesus then? Who believes that Jesus is who the Bible says that he is? Emmanuel. Emmanuel. which means God with us. In that little manger, in that little time that we celebrate for Christmas, God became a man. Didn't stop being a God. He was God, but he was also man. He was the God-man. That's why what his name means, Emmanuel, God with us. Who believes what the angel said about Jesus? The message for the day after Christmas and for all the days of our life in this world is summarized for us in this familiar passage in Isaiah 53. And I want us to turn to that right now. We read it, it was read in the scripture reading. But I just want to take, and we could read the whole chapter there, but for the sake of time and so forth, I just want to read, think about this morning, the first three verses. That's what we will see. That this, now you understand, this is the prophet Isaiah. He prophesied about 700 and some years before Christ, almost 800 years before Christ. And what he's talking about here can be summarized sort of in these first three verses. The title today, again, is the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the day after Christmas. Let's read it again. Isaiah 53, verse 1. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him like a tender plant, like a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Three verses, something like 89 words in those three verses. And this is Isaiah's picture of Jesus. And unfortunately, so much of the time, this is the answer to our title, the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the day after Christmas. And I trust that if you know him as your Savior, and I trust that every single one of us either already has done that or will do that, and take that step of receiving Jesus as our Savior, these words we can, it just is so, we would hardly think that we could do that after Christmas. Just forget him. Esteem him not. Don't worry about him. But so much of the time in the world that we live in, this is what it's like. So let's look at Isaiah's little picture of Jesus here and reflect on it and help us to understand what our response should be to this season of the year. First of all, in verse 2, for he shall grow up before him like a tender plant, and like a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He was a simple, everyday person. His face didn't shine, other than one or a few times in his life, but normally he looked like any other person. And this is what the prophet says. In talking about the coming of Jesus, this is what it was going to be like. He said, he's like a root out of a dry ground and not a wonderful flowering plant or something, just a tiny little whizzle-up person coming out of a dry ground. The line of David at that time, he came to this earth through the line of David, and it was barren and dry in those days. There were not many stars in the line of David at that time. And Jesus' earthly parents were poor, humble people. They did not come up out of the upper class. They were rather the lower class. And coming out of Nazareth and taking the trip down to Bethlehem because of the taxation and so forth. And very humble, humble origin of Jesus. And then he says, He was like a tender plant and like a root out of a dry ground. And he was born as a baby. As a baby. To understand that that baby in the manger was the Son of God. We're talking in the Sunday school hour about the work of the Holy Spirit and all that from the doctrinal statement. We're doing a little review of the teaching of the doctrinal statement of the church. And we were talking about the fact that the Spirit of God overshadowed the work of the Holy Spirit in our life today. But in this particular time, the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary, it says, and the child that was born to her was the Son of God. He grew up to be a man, Son of God. He was God, the God-man, God on this earth. And grew up in obscurity in a place called Nazareth. And he was unnoticed by the world. Rome knew nothing of what was going on concerning Jesus until the end of his life. As one writer said, until the end of his life. And at the end of his life, for Rome, it was just one more execution. They knew all about that. That's the way they worked in those days. They ruled the world in those days. And but he was, as he grew up, he was unnoticed by the world, but he was noticed by God. Notice in verse 2, but he shall grow up before him like a tender plant. He shall grow up before him, before God. God the Father and God the Holy Spirit were very, very interested in that little baby and his growth up in this world and so forth until the time of his crucifixion and resurrection and all of that. God the Father and God the Holy Spirit knew every move that he made. So all the Trinity of God was involved in this man for these years that he was in the earth. On the earth. And then notice his unattractive form. It says he has no form nor comeliness. And the later translations, comeliness has to do with majesty. He had no majesty, you know, even though it was once or twice when he was revealed, as it were, as in his glorified form, but very seldom. He had no majesty. Jesus was not dashing or alluring or especially attractive. Jesus lived a plain and simple life, humanly speaking. He had no special beauty or no handsome features. You don't know, that doesn't exist today, and nobody took they didn't have cameras in those days, but no people could have drawn pictures of him or painted pictures of him, but we don't have any of that today. And all we know is that he was just a common, everyday person. At the same time, he is God. He's the God-man. He was rejected of men, it says in verse 3. He is despised and rejected of men. Despised and rejected or forsaken. Rejection comes at the hands of men of learning and culture. The Jewish leaders and so forth of the day. Rejection by the Romans, the leaders and the educated men of the day. Rejection came of Jesus, came at the hands of men of learning and of culture. And then, his sorrow of heart. It says in verse 3, he was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Jesus was acquainted with grief. And he was a stranger in a strange land, humanly speaking. Here he was coming to his own people, the Jews and so forth, and they rejected him. And he lived a life full of sorrow and suffering. He was acquainted with grief. He knew grief. Literally, that word means he was acquainted with sicknesses, with sicknesses. He had compassion on the sick and the suffering people. He often healed many of those. And he was, it says, he was not esteemed among by men. It says, we esteemed him not. People around him did not honor him or did not recognize that he was a very important person. He was the God-man. No man on this earth from that day to this has ever been a more important human being than him. He was God in a human body. But the truth was, as we know from the writings of the New Testament and so forth, that he was not making, when he come born in the manger, grew up in Nazareth, became a man of 30 years old and went into that time of ministry for 3.5 years or so on this work, he was not making his way to a throne. He was making his way to a cross because he came to this world for one overriding reason. He had many things to do in this world and he did them, but he came for one overriding reason, and that was to die, because that was the only payment that was sufficient for the sins of the world, was for someone who was totally sinless to take our sin upon him and die. And that all began at the Christmas time, at the Christmas story. It began at that birth and so forth in Bethlehem. And then notice his Isaiah's sad lament in verse 1. He said, "Who hath believed our report? Who has believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" In this sense, in this little verse here in Isaiah chapter 1, Isaiah 53, verse 1, Jesus is the arm of the Lord. The arm of God coming into this world to do what had to be done in order that the world could be redeemed, in order that believers could be redeemed in him. And he is the presence of God revealed in this world, Jesus. He is the power of God demonstrated in so many ways. And ultimately, the most amazing way of all, on the cross of Calvary. Jesus is not accepted or recognized by his people. We talk about us, and what are we going to do about Jesus the day after Christmas? What about those people? What about the people that he grew up with? What about the people in Nazareth? And what about the people, the Jewish leaders? And what about all the ministry that he had in Jerusalem and so forth? Not accepted by his people. Who has believed our report? Isaiah prophesied 700 years before. He says, we know that he's coming, but who's going to believe this? And they didn't believe it when he was here. A lot of them. And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? I want to read just this. Keep your finger there in Isaiah 53 if you're following. Look over in John chapter 12. The words of John. Gospel of John, chapter 12. To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? John, chapter 12. In the main verse I'm going to look at is verse 38, but we're going to read a little bit around that. I want to read from verse 37 to verse 41 of John chapter 12. Verse 37, John 12, 37. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. Verse 38. That the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, of which he spoke, which is what we're reading back in Isaiah 53. Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore, second. Therefore, they could not believe because that Isaiah said again, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes nor understand with their heart and be converted, and I should heal them. These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spoke of him. He's referring back to the passage that we read in Isaiah 53, 700 and some years earlier. Isaiah, somehow God gave Isaiah a vision and he wrote it as a prophecy. He could see, and the people that were there on the scene when Jesus lived on the earth could not. Illustration of the matter of this life and ministry of Jesus, and this birth of Jesus and so forth, and then his life and ministry, and people just couldn't understand. What about Christmas? What about Christmas, the day after Christmas? What about the Christmas story, the day after Christmas? Or the, you know, all the days that flow out in our life after we hear it? Now, one other thing, a passage I want to read is Romans chapter 10. The first words in John 12, reference the writer John. Now we look over at Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, Paul writing to Rome, and beginning at verse 14 to verse 21. Romans chapter 10, verse 14, and down to the end of the chapter, verse 21. Paul said, how then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed this gospel. Again, here we say, here Paul now is referring to the words of Isaiah. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yea, verily, their sound went out unto all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are of no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Isaiah, here again, referring to the prophet Isaiah, is very bold and saith, I was found by them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel, he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and contrary people. And folks, I think this is just a commentary on the world that we live in today. We can, even people that aren't very religious and don't, certainly are not believers in Jesus and so forth, they can take their children to various festivities and various plays and music and things like that. Whether they're children or adults, we can have a part in the Christmas message and the coming of Jesus, the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem and all that. What about the day after Christmas? What about the rest of the year? It's even getting so today where people don't even want to talk about it at Christmas sometime. I mean, some people are that far away from it now, but what about the day after Christmas? What about after the season is done and we're into the various other things, the rest of the year? Now let's let us turn to back to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53 again. We read the text is from verse 1 to 3. And I want to just read down some words in the remainder of the chapter of Isaiah 53. He said, beginning at verse 4, sort it. Now, remember, 700 and some years before Christ, this is a prophecy. And yet it fits so amazingly to what happened to Jesus as he grew up and lived his life and had his ministry, ended up on the cross and so forth, and resurrection and so forth. He says, surely he hath borne our griefs, speaking of this coming one, who was Jesus. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. And yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people was he stricken. He made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. All these are prophecies concerning the life and death and burial and resurrection of Jesus. Because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, and he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall be shall prosper in his hand. You see, he is talking here, he's going to die, but he's going to rise again. And he shall see, after his resurrection, he shall see the fruit of his work on the cross for us. And he shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. And by his knowledge shall all my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Isaiah chapter 53. Absolutely fulfilled. All of those thoughts fulfilled in the life, death, and resurrection. Jesus. What about your life? My life? The day after Christmas. What about that? Just in closing, what will you do with Christmas, with Jesus, the day after Christmas? After Christmas, will you believe inspired Old Testament prophecy that we've read in Isaiah 53? Will you believe inspired angelic revelation in the Christmas story, as we talked about the angels praising God and so forth at Jesus' birth? Will you believe inspired New Testament revelation throughout the books of the New Testament, John and Paul and the rest? Will you trust Jesus as your Savior? Will you trust Jesus as your Savior? Will you live for him every day in this coming year? Will the coming year be new and fresh and fulfilling and comforting and challenging because you are living it in Christ Jesus? That's why he came. That's why God became a man, in order that he could die to take away your sin, and if you place your faith and trust in him, every day of the year, we can be lived in the light of what has happened here at this Christmas season, this coming of Jesus. Are you living, Are you living today in the expectation of his soon return? Because the Bible talks a lot about him coming again. He came the first time as a babe in a manger. He's coming the second time as the Lord from glory and all of that. And are you living in that expectation? Or is it now the day after Christmas? It's just not that important. I want us to think about that today. What will you do with Jesus? What will you do with him? Just think about it. The Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, that little babe in the manger was second person of the Trinity, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, the day after Christmas. We have this privilege every year. We have Christmas season and we can remember people that know God and love God and are saved and serving God and all of that. We know that. But yet Christmas is still very special to us. But it goes on. It's not just for a few days around the holiday and then, oh well, back to the routines. No. It's something that every day of our life we can reflect on, and every day of our life we have this amazing hope, an amazing thing to look forward to, that one day we'll look into the face of Jesus. We'll see him face to face. So I want us to think about that today. If you know Jesus, I think you can reflect. Reflect in your heart some of these things that are around us. If you don't know Jesus, you can trust him and receive him as your own personal Savior. And then won't have this problem of just a fade out the day after Christmas. But every day is one in which we look. We reflect. Holidays cause us to reflect back to his coming and all, but we look to his second coming, his coming again for us. So I want us to think about that today. We're going to have a word of prayer, and then we will sing a song. So let's pray together now. Father in heaven, we thank you for this Christmas season. Thank you for these words that we have before us in the scripture from 700 years before the birth of Christ in the writings of Isaiah, the prophet, from the 2,000 years ago when Jesus came into this world and he lived and he died, and all the writing of the New Testament concerning his life, and all of the invitation that is before us to understand this, to believe it, and to experience new life in Jesus Christ. And to have hope, not just concerning things that happened long ago, but concerning things that could happen today, tomorrow, or the immediate days in the future of our life, of seeing Jesus face to face. Because we are saved and we have this expectation which he has given us, that he's coming again, we are to be ready. Help us to do that. Help us to think about that today as we think about the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the day after Christmas. We give you thanks now in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, let's take your hymnal, and open to page one, to hymn number 137. 137. What child is this? Let's stand together. What child who laid to When we think about the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the day after Christmas, I think this song has something to say to us. Does your heart enthrone Jesus? Because what else can we do if we come to Him by faith and receive Him as our Savior? He's on the throne of our life. And the day after Christmas is no different than the day before Christmas or the weeks and months of the new year. If you don't know Jesus today, if Jesus is just a Christmas story to you, and you don't wonder what to do about all that in the day after Christmas, think about it. Think about the gospel. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And when you do that, when you receive Him into your life, guess what? You will enthrone Jesus in your life. You'll know it. Nobody will have to explain it all to you. You learn all your life about Jesus, but the thing is, you will know when you have received Him, because that's why He came, to die, pay the price for your sins. When you acknowledge that, you become one of His. You have the hope of His coming again and all of that. So in this Christmas season, as we gather here for some thoughts about this before we go out into the world around us in the celebrations with your family and friends, remember what this season is all about. It's about the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, who died for us. Think about that. Now let's have a word of prayer and we'll be dismissed. Father in heaven, we thank You for this time together, for each one here. Thank You for bringing them safe. A lot of people travel long ways to get here for various connections and gatherings with family and friends, and we're thankful for that, and we ask You to bless them. And Lord, that we might remember what this season is all about. Son of God became a man forever. For me, for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. We're dismissed.